Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus will fix it. Oh, come on now. How many know Jesus will fix it? Come on, think about some of the things that you couldn't fix on your own and you had to cry out to the Lord. You know it was only Jesus who fixed it. Ah, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mount Carmel International Ministry Radio. I'd like to welcome all on this beautiful evening that the Lord has made for us to celebrate him in. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to get right on with the show. Father God, we thank you for what you've already done. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, we thank you for hovering over us, keeping us through the night, Lord. We thank you for keeping us from dangers seen and unseen. Thank you for the fellowship, the divine fellowship, the true fellowship. We just want you to bless our friends, God. Bless them, bless them, bless them like you've never blessed them before. God, we want to thank you. We want to love you. We want to praise you. We want to glorify you in all that we do. So let our light shine for the love of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I just pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. Oh, this is an exciting evening. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is good. And the Lord is always great. If you believe me and you just believe what I just said, give him a praise. Just give him a praise. Give him a praise. Let him know. See, the whole thing, you got to start letting him know. Don't worry about who around you, who listening, what they think. You got, listen, we got to get to the point that we love on God like we never loved on God before. Like I said, we have a beautiful show all planned. Amen. But like promised, I have three scriptures of encouragement for this week, for the 13th all the way to the 21st, to the 20th. Amen. From the 6th. From the 13th to the 20th, amen, we're going to have our three scriptures. And the first scripture, amen, glory to God, is Deuteronomy. Please write these down, 31 verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Oh, don't be afraid or don't be discouraged. He's going to go before you and set the enemy straight. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you. We glorify you. Our second scripture comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Verses chapter 15, verse 58. Amen. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Fully, y'all, fully to what? The work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. So all y'all just laboring, it seems like nothing's happening, and you know you're laboring, you're doing everything God is saying. Dude, listen, don't worry about it. It's not in vain. God has a plan. God has a plan. His word just told us that. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And our final scripture for this evening will be Psalms 32, verse 8. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Oh, God already got his eye on you. There's going to be no depression. There's not going to be no distress. There's not going to be no pain. There's not going to be no suffering. There ain't got no anguish. He has his eye on you. He's just going to move when he get ready to move. We got to let him move when he wants to move. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do have a show, y'all, and we do have the Bible. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to thank everybody once again for tuning in to Mount Carmel International Ministry Radio. We just want to say thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate the support. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's just an excitement that comes upon me when I, you know, get in the studio and I just feel God and I go to God and I ask him and I talk to him and I feel him. And I got to a point where I realized that I have to fall in love with God all over again. Not to say that I have to go out and then start over again. What I'm saying is I just got to appreciate him a little more. Amen. I just love the Lord, and I know he loves me, and I know he loves you. Amen. So we're going to get on with this, and we're going to have some fun with this. Amen. Glory to God. I do have Bible. Amen. And we will be in the book of Luke this afternoon. Amen. Our title will be, if you write titles down, the title will be, You Say You Love Me, But I Only Hear From You When You Want Something and It Hurts. I don't think you heard that. You say you love me, but I only hear from you when you want something and it hurts. All glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of us got family members, friends? You know, you do everything you can for them, and they get a little blessing or something goes good in their life. You don't hear from them no more. You call them for a loan. You call them because you need to borrow the car. You call them to come help you move. You call them to come help you fix the oil in the car. Whatever it may be, you call them and you've done everything and you just don't hear from them. Or they always got excuses. Give me a few minutes. I can't do it right now. But when they need something, they can call on you. And guess what? You're always there for them. And I'm not saying stop doing that, but what I'm saying is, how you think Jesus feel when we only call on him when we want something, but when he calls on us, we're not there. Oh, yeah, there's some of us out there like that. I've been there. Listen, sometimes I know I missed the call. And listen, there's nothing like missing the call, because when you miss the call, you miss the joy, you miss the blessing, you miss the assignment that God has for you. And a lot of times we always call on God and trials or in tribulations, you know, Lord, I need you to do something spontaneous. I need a supernatural miracle. But we never call on God in genuine praise. We never call on God in genuine worship for no other reason. Just get up and say, you know what, Lord, I love you. I love you to the point I am just thankful that you saved me. I'm thankful that you died on the cross for me. I'm thankful. And also we can show our love by obeying his commandments or doing and loving like Jesus loved. Amen. We got to remember that Jesus loved. Amen. He showed true love. Jesus was one who, like, wow, his love was true. He gave his life for us. He gave his life when he didn't have to. Amen. So we need to just really, really think about that. And like I said, we do have scripture, and I'm going I want to read something. Let's go to the book of Luke, and we're going to talk about this, and I want everybody to be on the same page, amen. We're going to go to the book of Luke, amen. We're going to go to chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 36, amen. And when you have it, please say amen, amen. Please say amen. And it's not unto me, it's unto God, amen. God loves us, y'all. God loves us unconditionally, and we have to remember that. Amen. Unconditionally, he loves us. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible reads, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, this was like made of the most softest stone to preserve the quality of the precious and expensive perfume. That shows humility and devotion and that woman's act of service unto God, well as a great deal of courage, because she had to be, she was a sinner in front of all the people, and she came in there with a gift. Now, we're going to get on to the story, and some of y'all know the story about her tears and her hair, but she loved Jesus to the point. Let's keep on going. I love the way the Bible talks about it, amen, and stood at his feet behind him, crying, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. But Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing in which to repay for freely repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Wow, good question. Which will love him more? Amen. Glory to God. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, to whom little is forgiven. Ooh, guess what, y'all? The same love, little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Ain't that something? The sinful woman, the sinful one, the one that everybody was pointing fingers at, the one that everybody was talking about, the one that was saying, I'll never be around her, I'll never be around, loved Jesus more than the ones who supposed to say and walk with him and say they loved him. We say we love Christ on a daily basis. And I'm not badgering nobody because I don't know nobody's personal relationship with God. But it is a question, do you really show God how much you love him on a daily basis? Do you really obey his commandments the way he say? Do you really listen and go in detail and do what he tells you to do the way he say do without even having animosity in your heart? Oh, why I got to be the one to do this? Why I got to be the one to do this? I've been in the church for 30 years. I've been doing this. It's no question. If you love Jesus, whatever he say for us to do, we should be obedient. We should be happy. We should be proud. We should be loving. We should be shouting and praising God because he chose you or me or whoever it may be and gave us an assignment, something that he could not trust with anybody in everybody. Amen? That is something we should be happy about. That is something we should be proud about. See, because God loved us in a way. He gave his only begotten son so we can live and not die and have everlasting life in the kingdom of God. He did everything. He created the earth. He gave us dominion over the earth. He keep on forgiving us. He keep on giving us favor. He keep on loving us. He keep on protecting us. And he keeps on providing for us. And he just asks us to love him, trust him, believe in him, worship him. You know the thing I found out, and I'm not saying this is true, but it's just something, it's the way I think. Because I think that Lazarus was Mary Magdalene's brother or a brother or a relationship. I think brother. And I often wondered, and I know Jesus and Lazarus was cool and they was tight, and but when Mary Magdalene, I think it's in the book of John, went to Jesus and said, your friend is sick, which was her brother, I'm thinking, was her brother. He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Because when Jesus heard it, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be what? Glorified. But because that was her, I just wonder, you know, everything she did that day in front of all the people is partially probably the reason that God acted the way he acted, moved out the way he acted. Because it's like my wife loves God so much, I get favor. Because we're connected. We got to remember that we're either going to hinder people or we're going to help bless people. People that's connected to you in your family, your family members, you're either going to, when you praise God and worship God and love God, guess what? Those blessings get passed down. Amen. That favor gets passed down. That joy gets passed down. Amen. So let's go beyond the first impressions, because we know it's easy to, like, reject people. You know, we know people of the street. We know a thief when we see one, a liar. You see, and we know how easy it is to reject someone because what? They appear different from us. Just like the Pharisees who hosted this party, right? And the woman, they knew she was a sinner. The woman, but she still came in and anointed God's feet, right? Now, this woman was a sinner, right? And what they call the when you disgrace somebody, amen. Because her reputation in the town had been so soiled, and her past was littered with one night stands that nobody of high reputation, okay, especially not in this religious day and time, these religious leaders, amen, would want to have anything to do with her or be seen with her. But guess what? Jesus allowed her to anoint his feet with perfume, right? Cover them with her tears and wipe them with her hair. But we're quick to judge you. We don't know. The sinner might be the one that God is using to come into our life and bless us with a word. We don't know. We got to stop judging people, because we have to remember where we come from. We have to remember before we knew Christ. How would you feel if people judged you? If people wouldn't let you in the church? If people always said bad things about, how can she come in the church? How can she be on the choir? How could they let her do this? How could they let him do this? But God loves us all, and we got to learn to love everyone, no matter what they've done to us. We got to learn to forgive. That scripture said, he told Timothy that you got to learn to forgive, because you forgive little, you'll get little love. You'll love people little, because you'll love in a little bit, because you only forgive with a little bit. We got to listen, accept them who they are, the way they are, and give them over to Christ. We have to give them over to Christ. So I wonder why Jesus did this, because he looked beyond this woman's past. And he saw what? Her future. He will look beyond the sinner's past and look at a future. I know he has to look beyond my past and presented me with something brand new. Son, here's a future for you. If you trust and believe in me and give your life to me and serve me, worship me, praise me, give me your life, here's your new future. You never have to look back. You never have to be the man you used to be. You never have to be a liar. You never have to be a deceiver. You'll never have to be a criminal again. You'll never have to be a dope fiend again. You could be a king amongst nations. You could be a prince amongst nations. You could be the most respected gentleman that I've ever raised. There's no limits to what God can do for us. We got to stop judging. We got to start forgiving. And we got to stop looking back. What are you looking back for if you're not going back? Amen? This is a time where we as Christians, women, men, children, step our game up. Start by loving Jesus the way he deserves to be loved. Not because he's given you nothing, not because he's promised you nothing, not because of his blood, because he's the Most High King God, who's the author and finisher of our life. We constantly say this. He's the author and finisher of my life. Well, let him write it out the way he wanted and follow his guidelines to the finish line. It's loving Jesus time. We know he loves us. We know he loves us. The proof is in our everyday walk. The proof is when we open our eyes in the morning. The proof is when your limbs is operating. The proof, you may not have everything you want, but you got Jesus. And in Jesus, there's no lack. We got to stop looking at things and start looking at souls. We got to ask for the supernatural things. We got to move like the disciples move. We got to ask God, who am I in you, Lord? How can I serve you? How can I love you the way you desire to be loved by me? I can't worry about how the next person do it, but by me, Jesus, what can I do to show you my love is real? What can I do? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we just ask, why did Jesus do this? Because he looked past her past and saw her future. He knew she loved so much because she has been forgiven much. Amen. And that is his parable and his sharp rebuke to the Pharisees. Amen. In verse 41 through 47, that's what he was telling them. He rebuked them. See, Jesus is so smooth. They didn't even understand what was going on. Amen. We are here to learn through our lessons. And the lessons that we're learning is to forgive, to love, and to honor God's children. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care what they look like. I don't care about their mental capacity. I don't care about their lack. We got to understand they belong to Christ, and he has assigned us to oversee them, to watch over them, to pray for them, to bring them to the royal king's kingdom through him. It's no more time, oh, I'm not talking to that one. I'm not doing that for that one. They getting on my nerve. How many times do you think you get on Jesus' nerves? Just think about it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. We got to love each other deeply. We got to love each other deeply. Amen. Come on, y'all know the word. Y'all preach, y'all teach, y'all praise God. We got to go further than praising God. We got to go into a spiritual realm and sit there and shut up and listen to God. Follow the instructions from God. We got to go in there and touch the hem of his garment. But we got to do it with a humble spirit. How are we going to start taking over like we God? Oh, it's me. It's me. No, it's time out for stealing God's glory. Amen? Because guess what? In Ephesians 2:8, it says it's by his grace that we are saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. Come on, y'all. It's a whole new season. And God is in the mix. He's like a spiritual tornado coming through, tearing stuff up and rebuilding it. But if he rebuilds you, are you going to give him the favor, the grace, the praise, the... Listen, he wants our worship. God loves us. He loves us. Do you believe God loves you? Do you trust in him? Do you really trust in him? Where is the spirit of doubt? How much weight do the spirit of doubt on your spiritual scale? Does doubt outweigh your faith? Does sadness outweigh your faith? Does judgment outweigh your faith? Greed, does it outweigh your faith? Lust, do it outweigh your faith? Let's take a spiritual checkup. Amen. This is your Pastor McNeil keeping it real this evening. I want everybody to know that Jesus is real and he loves us. We'll be back in a moment.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
With you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
Perfect,
but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I played that for the first lady. First lady, she always tell me, you know, you look good when you smile. You always look evil. Smile sometimes. You got a nice smile. So I played that for the first lady. I want you to know that I am smiling in the Lord. I am smiling for you, baby. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm married, so I can say that. There ain't no sin. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to my wife. Yes, I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is your Victor Sick, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're in the Dover area, please come by and give us a visit at 1406 Forest Avenue, Unit D, Dover, Delaware, 19904. Amen. We have a contact number, 302-883-9799. All are invited. Amen. Glory to God. We are going to have our Family and Friends Day coming soon. Amen. It's just so much on the plate of Mount Carmel right now. Amen. All are welcome to be a part of it. We'll keep you informed as we go on. Amen. Amen. Dr. Callum McNeil has a book, Prayer for the Nations, and she's been a blessing to a lot of people. She even dropped the price, I think, $6 or $5 or $7. Well, however price she dropped it, it's a blessing. Amen. Get the book. I mean, prayer. Prayer for nations. Prayers heal. Prayers deliver. Prayers keep you saying prayers keep us together. Prayers keep us connected to God. Amen. You might want to do just give it a gift to somebody who don't know Christ. It might just show them how to pray. You might get it and sit with them and read the prayers with them. Show them how to pray. Amen. It is so much. Our gifts need to change. And I'm not telling nobody how to spend your money. It's your money. But our gifts, we ought to start giving people gifts of empowerment, gifts of wisdom, godly stuff, stuff that's going to get us further and get them further as well. Amen. Glory to God. I was just sitting here and I was just thinking that, you know, we read a lot of scriptures, you know, Isaiah 61, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We read all these scriptures, but the bottom line is we have to go and tell people the goodness of the Lord. Amen. We really have to go tell, because if God has done a transforming work in your life or done anything for you, any healing, any delivering, we ought to go and tell others about it, because the one thing I know for sure, if you tell other people about the changes that God made, or people who know you and see the change, nothing creates a more thirst for Christ. That's evidence of change. But like the people who see me now, remember how I used to be. That's evidence that God did it. First of all, I give God the glory. I tell them it wasn't me, it was the Lord. I tell them that God touched me. I tell them that God forgave me. And I tell them that God would do the same to them and for them. Amen. But we have to go out and tell the people the goodness of the Lord. Amen. If you're uncertain what you should say to another person, all you got to do is take the time and just remember what you was like before he touched you, or before you even knew Christ, amen, before Christ changed you, amen. So let's not forget this. There's a work to be done. God is, listen, he loves us to the point that he will do anything that lines up with his will for us, to get us on the straight and narrow and to get us connected with him. In this season, I'm telling you, I just see a spiritual tornado coming through, and he's going to tear down. He's going to tear down. Listen, it's no more time for, and I'm not saying this is nobody, but it's no more time for the hypocrisy, the procrastinating. It's no more time for playing with God. God is ready to do a work. There's too many lost souls, and God is ready to do a work, and he's ready to raise his people up to do the work. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not saying that nobody's not doing it. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we got to do better. I put myself in every day. I ask God, what can I do better? What can I do better, Lord? Please show me. Please tell me. And then I have to listen. Amen. The only way I'm going to know is I have to listen. Amen. I was just going over the book of Luke, and we were talking about Mary Magdalene, how she came and served the Lord and loved on Jesus, even in the home of somebody else. And I was just thinking, how would one of us have responded if we had been present that evening? Amen. How have we responded to be more How do we respond to people who are different from us right now? How do we respond to people that is different from you? People with lighter skin, darker skin, people who speak a different language, people with accents, people who have bad breath, bad reputations, whatever. Because we got to remember that Jesus loved and accepted us, and we got to love and accept other people, no matter who and what they're doing. The love that we put out is going to be the thing that draws them to God. Amen. The Jesus loved and accepted love from someone just like a sinner, which was me. He accepted my love because I know when I cried out, it was genuine. I was tired of hurting. I was tired of hurting people. I was tired of being a deceiver. I was just tired of so much, and I needed a peace that only God could give me. And I'm saying this in the most respectful way I can say it. No drug, no alcohol, no woman, no matter no amount of money could give me the peace I have now. Because if I had all the money in the world with the way I was back then, I'd probably be dead right now. You see what I'm saying? And that's why God has us with specific mates. You know, we always say, boy, if I was with Denzel or if I was with Janet, no, you'd have been lost your mind, because they, first of all, they're not who God has for you.
Second of all, if y'all journey isn't the same, if y'all yokes ain't equal, somebody's going to lose out. Somebody's going to draw somebody, and we got plenty of examples of that. But I just want us to remember that God desires and deserves our love, y'all. That's my point tonight. I want us to start loving Jesus like he's sitting in your house. I want us to start giving genuine praise, not because I want something right now, not because I want a promotion, not because I want a new car, not because I want a new house, not because I want a husband, not because I want a wife, not because, no, I want to love you, Jesus, because you deserve it. I want to prove my love to you. I want to prove that I am worthy of everything you've done for me. I want to prove that I am worthy to move forward in your kingdom to do the work for you. I want to show you that I am genuine and I love you and I need you. I can't do this by myself. I can't live without you. I heard it someone, and I know where I heard it from, but it's almost to the point where I want to get to the point, and because it's a true statement. The man told a woman, she said, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "I can't breathe without you." And that's how I feel about Jesus. I cannot, and that's a true fact, because if he stopped my breath, it's over. And I can't breathe without him. But I want to have a love for my Christ, for my King, for my Savior, like I've never loved him before. I'm not saying be a fanatic. I'm saying let Jesus know that you appreciate everything that he's done and everything that he's doing, not only for you, but look at the prayers you gave for your children and God moved on behalf. Look at the prayers you asked for getting back in school, getting diplomas, getting degrees, everything that you know we couldn't do on our own. God did it for us. You don't think he deserves love? You don't think he deserves appreciation? You don't think he deserves us to worship him and praise him on a daily basis for no apparent reason just because he's Christ by himself? Well, I do. In my life, I do. Amen? So I'm believing that in the day's time, Jesus wants those who follow him to show the same kind of love that Mary showed him. He looks beyond her appearance. He'll look beyond our appearance. He'll look beyond our mental difficulties. He'll look beyond whatever the situation is, because he loves us unconditionally. He shuns stereotypes. He don't get into that. So we, just as Jesus did, we got to look beyond such a person's past or his or her differences and look toward that person's bright potential future. Amen? Because complete forgiveness of sin is eternity with Christ Jesus. And that's what he was saying in verse 50. That's what he was saying. He told her, y'all, your sins is forgiven. He loves us. I want us to get to a point where we love Christ so much and we stay in tune for Christ so much, the churches are being rebuilt. Ministries are being rebuilt. But those who are giving up are not giving up no more. They're standing up. That's the statement I want us to make. There's no giving up. We're standing up. I won't give up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up on Christ's word. I'm going to stand up on every promise I made to Christ. I'm going to stand up for Christ. I'm going to stand up for the lost. I'm going to stand in a gap against the enemy for the lost. I'm going to, because we got to remember they're waiting on us. But it has, for it to be effective, we have to operate in love. We can't do it with a halfway heart, a half-lovable heart. We have to go in, Lord, do spiritual surgery on my heart. Everything that's not truly love, everything that's not truly of you, please burn it, tear it down, rip it out, evict it, do whatever you have to do so I can be whole in you for you. It is not about me no more. God done brung me from a place that no man or no woman, no amount of money could have brung me from. And I am pleased, well pleased with my Father. And not only I know my book, my name is in the book of life. But there's something, and it might sound so far-fetched to everybody else. I want to be so good to my father, and it may never happen. But it's just a spiritual fantasy of mine that he adds my name, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Matthew. I want him to love me like that. So if I want him to love me like that, I have to love him unconditionally. Listen, yes, I want my name like that. I want the Lord to call out my name with the great ones. It's a price to pay, though. And I'm willing to pay it. Because without Christ, I'm nothing anyway. Without Christ, my life was a wreck anyway. So why not sacrifice for the love of someone else, to help someone else get further in Christ? We water them with the word. We water them with prayer. We bring them to the house. We fellowship. So what? They ask you for, take them in. When you buy them food, don't just throw it to them. Ask them, what is it you desire? Give them a four-course meal if that's what it takes. We have to do it like Jesus would do it, to be effective. I hate to say it. That's why there's so much going on. The people don't even want to trust the saints no more, because we're not operating in love. We treat them like the people in the street treat them. We got to treat them like we are representatives of the Most High Christ God, Christ Jesus. We got to treat people that way. We have to love that way. Listen, we've been doing this for a long time. And love, listen, I love God. And whatever I do, I want to do it unto the glory of God. So I have to do it in love, and I have to walk in faith, and I have to trust and believe that God is guiding me. I have to trust and believe that I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that everything that God ever said to me is true and shall come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want us to, today, this evening, I know the show is not running like it would normally run. Praise God. I have to be obedient to God. But I want us to write down a list, five people that I'm going to pray for. And I'm going to ask God to show me, how do I lead these people to him? I'm going to make this my life journey. It amazes me how we can go on all these, the ice water challenge and the who can eat the most carrot challenge and all these little funny challenges. But I challenge you today then to help lead somebody to Christ. That's a challenge. You know why? You really got to sacrifice. You really got to fast. You really got to pray. You really got to stay on top of this person. You really got to fellowship with this person. You really got to put your whole needs to the side. Now, if that's something you would like to do, because I can't make you do nothing, but it's something to think about. Five people. And I'm not talking about people that you know that's already saved. I'm talking about people that you know, that you say in your heart, oh, you need Jesus. He needs Jesus. She needs Jesus. You know the people you say every time you see them, oh, God, they need you. Okay? Well, because you know they need him that much, we need to work that much harder to get them to Christ and let Christ do the transformation in their life. This is about loving Jesus. This is about being obedient. This is about having a father. And our brothers and sisters done ran away from home, and we don't know what's happening to them, and we don't know what's going on with their life, but we love them and we miss them. We go get them. It's time for us to go get them. I ain't got to wait for the pastor in the big church. God gave me power. He gave me wisdom. He gave me understanding. He gave me eyes to see. He gave me ears to hear. I know thus saith the Lord. And I'm telling you, we are out of time for letting God's people perish. Some of y'all work in places, you see them in the hospitals, you see them in the morgue, you see them on the streets on a daily basis, and you see the suffering, you see the pain, and you know that as a representative of Christ, we should drop everything we're doing and start praying. We should drop everything we're doing and give that individual a hug. We should drop everything we're doing and ask God, how can I do what you desire me to do effectively for you? Because I'm not going to try to steal God's glory. Amen. I'm doing this because I know God is wanting us to go and do what we are supposed to do for the kingdom and the building of the kingdom of God. Because you can believe one thing, the enemy sending his soldiers out, the enemy sending his out, they out there. That's why we're having such a hard time bringing them back in, because they have their grips on them. They have their arms around them. They alcohol, they drugs, they sinful ways. They want to gamble. All those things is not of God. It's gripping them. Mental health is gripping them. Deception is gripping them. Now it's time to put those scriptures to work. Amen. Now it's trying to put that anointing to work. Because I believe to glorify is to praise or honor something or someone to an extreme. To extremes. So if I say I'm a glorified God, I'm going to praise him and honor him to extremes. I'm not a lightweight in a heavyweight fight. If I'm in a heavyweight bout, I'm a fight like a heavyweight. All that other stuff, we done played church. We done played pastor, we done played bishop, we done played apostle, we done played deacon, we done played deaconess. Now it's time to get in the nitty gritty. It's time to get in the trenches. Too many people are dying. Too many souls are being lost. Touch and agree with somebody that if we just help one person. I know I'm going to go get the scripture because I know y'all know it, but I mean, this is Bible. This is Bible. It's not just me. It was given to me for my life, and I've kept this scripture ever since the man of God gave it to me and told me that this is for you. And I'm going to try my best, and I've been trying my best to apply it to my life every day, all day. I just know that this is what we are supposed to do. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord. God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to who? The poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, not only physically but spiritually, in their mind, in their soul. They're locked down. Amen. And the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Come on, y'all. It's a work to be done. That scripture, I love it. It means everything to my salvation. It tells me as a man of God, as a Christian, what I am supposed to be doing above all things. I am supposed to be going and preach good tidings to those who are poor. The Bible says he has sent me. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And if it's upon you, move out on it. You know what that means to Christ. He's imparting every weapon. He's given us every power. He's given us every word. He's given us everything we need to reach out. But some of us are allowing the enemy to tell you it's not your business. Let somebody else do it. You've done enough. You've been saved up 40 years. You done helped a lot of people. Let the new people do it. That is not what God said for us to do. I don't see a date. I don't see a time. I don't see an expiration date on that scripture. I love the Lord. My life is His. I've died too many times. I believe in the spirit of resurrection. I know I've been resurrected. And I ain't talking about no just, living as a vagabond in the street. I'm talking about death, true death, where you don't even know you're gone, in the body bag, about to head to the morgue, about to put a toe tag on you. But before the bag is zipped up, open your eyes, son. That made me special. There's a mission for me. Didn't save you to just sit on your behind. Didn't save you just to say you was a pastor. I didn't save you just to walk around with a title. I didn't save you just to go into a building and preach to the people in the building. I didn't save you for that. There's an assignment connected to each and every one of us. Worship. Fast, seek God for your assignment. People are waiting for you. People are waiting for me. I thank God for this opportunity to remind me what He's wrung me from and what He's called me to do on a daily basis. And I know it's not easy, and I know it's not going to always feel good, but I often say to myself, what if God don't feel like being a blessing to me today? What if He don't feel like talking to me today? What if He don't feel like loving on me today? What if He don't feel like giving me favor today? What if He don't feel like waking me up today? Somebody's waiting on us. We got to get in our lanes again. Four-wheel drive. Automatic. Ain't no cruise control. This is Mount Carmel Ministry Radio. But we believe in ministry. Where we do ministry. Where our lives are ministry. I know this has been a different program tonight. I know this has been a different word tonight, and we might have not heard all the thous and theys and those, but the word of God has moved forward, and we are in a season of loving on Christ, because the more we love Christ, the more we can love our brother that we see every day, our sister that we see every day. See him crying, see him hurting, see him in pain, see him in anguish, see him with doubt, see him with lack. Let's go to God and get that spiritual medicine for them. God, and ask him to impact that power in your hand, impact that power in your word, impact that anointing that he gave you, empower that with a supernatural that you can just speak healing into the life of the lost. This is our show for the evening. This is your 66, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping Real. We're going to add in a few weeks the altar call to this show. And the altar call is simple. If you trust and believe God, and you believe in your heart that He died on the cross for your sin and rose on the third day, and confess it with your mouth. I don't care who you're around. Find your space. If you're shy, find somewhere to go. If you don't want nobody to know, just go somewhere and say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you rose on the third day with all power in your hand. And I believe that you ascended after descending into the pits of hell, taking the keys from the enemy, and ascending to the right hand of the King of the Father. And say these things with your mouth and believe them in your heart. You can and will and is saved. Backsliders, God still loves you. We dedicate your life to Christ. If you don't feel like you've been doing the right things and you don't feel like you've been living the way you're supposed to live, God loves you too. But we're going to do everything and use every tool and this ministry radio here to bring people closer to Christ. Because this is what I ask God for, not to be some celebrity, not to be no radio jock, but be able to have a voice so the lost and his people can hear and be saved and be given unto him to use the way he sees fit. And I'm going to take advantage of this situation. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to speak about the gospel. I'm going to talk about the goodness of the Lord. And I'm going to help whoever allows me and whoever God puts me in their way. I'm going to love them. I'm going to love on them sincerely. See, loving on someone and not lusting on someone, but loving them with the love of the Lord. Like Christ loves me on a daily basis. Amen. I hope you enjoyed your show this evening. I hope we all got something out of it. I didn't mean to offend, but I meant everything that I said because I know I was led by the Spirit. I just don't do anything on my own because I want to be pleasing unto God. So I pray peace over everyone that's listening. I pray peace over your families. I pray peace over your homes. I pray peace, wealth in your heart, strength in your heart, strength in your body, strength in your mind. I pray that you lack nothing spiritual. I pray that you allow the Lord to use you. I pray for prophetic dreams. I pray for the presence of the Lord to meet you right where he want to meet you. I pray that you shed everything that's not God, that we strip naked and let God have his way with our life. I pray that we give it over unto Christ. I pray for the babies. I pray for the leaders of this country that they make sound decisions, the leaders of this world, that they have peace in their heart, come together with unity and one love under God. I pray that no one lack the love of the Lord, that no one's lacking the love of Christ Jesus, that I pray that we make a way and we let God use us to bring those that are lost closer to him so he can get the glory and do what he said he would do. Thank you. Have a blessed night. Peace unto you and your families. And let there be joy and laughter in your life as we serve the Lord. We're going to serve God happily, peacefully, joyfully, and wonderfully, because we are wonderfully made in his image. Good night.